saving money on exterior wall lights. Now at Menards. Find your style with Patriot Lighting. Exterior lights enhance the look of your home. Choose from over 50 options from Patriot Lighting. Now through May 19th, get $10 instant savings on a single qualifying purchase of $100 or more on in-stock outdoor wall lights. Check out our entire selection of outdoor lights and see the rest of our deals happening now on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Okay, we're going to move on to the question and answer portion. These questions were submitted by our listeners anonymously. So the first one says, I don't want or need sex. How do I find a middle ground with my husband who always wants to do it?
Oh, okay. So I would say look at those drives and that sexual drive, that accelerator and brake portion we talked about, those dual sort of controls. Actually, is it because, are you asexual, which is totally a thing where you don't want or need sex and actually sex is not a thing for you, in which case that's a serious conversation that you need to have with your partner and say, actually, I'm an asexual person and sex is something that I don't want in our relationship, but I'm happy to provide this or this. Actually find your boundaries and barriers as an asexual person because they are different for everyone. So actually really thinking, is it that or is it, yes, previously you might have enjoyed sex, but now as a parent, different factors are at play that stop you from enjoying sex. So really confront your own feelings there. Actually, is this something how you've always felt? Or is this something that has changed? Is it something that has changed as the role of parent? Is it something that's changed with your hormones that goes throughout your slight hormonal cycle? Is it something that's just, you know, the factors of everyday life and these breaks and accelerators that cause that change? That's what I would say.
I love that. Next, we have a question. My husband refuses to get a vasectomy. For medical reasons, I can't use traditional forms of birth control. I'm anxious to have sex because I do not want to get pregnant again, especially after recent abortion laws are passed in my state. What should I do?
Yeah.
That so much.
And this is it, isn't it? That abortion law has been passed and you would think that, you know, their husband, did she say husband? So they're married and therefore following all the sort of quote unquote things they should do. They're doing the tick box. We're married. We're in a loving relationship with this and that. But for whatever reason, she can't take hormonal contraception. So it's the condom conversation. You use condoms. And if they don't like condoms, let's talk about why. Condoms come in all kinds of different shapes and fits. There is not just a one size that's the one you have to have. Actually, different brands, different makes have different shapes and fits. Find what's right for you. Sometimes it takes some experimenting and it takes some working out. If someone says to you they don't like condoms, they don't want you to use them, really consider then actually, okay, well, how much do you want sex? Because, you know, that if they're not ready to explore that and look at that option for them, then where's their sort of respect and understanding for you and your body? Which is a bit harsh to say, isn't it? But so yeah, if he's not willing to get a vasectomy, then condoms all the way. Explore what is right for that person's penis, that person's body. There are different fits for everyone. It's not just a one size fits all kind of thing. And then vasectomies, I'm a massive advocate for vasectomies. I'm huge. My husband's had a vasectomy and it's the best thing ever. It's not demasculizing. It's not going to affect your hormones. It's not going to affect your testosterone. You don't have to tell anyone. It doesn't cause your balls to fall off or go black or any other craziness. Your penis is going to remain the same size. I had someone ask me the other day in the playground at school.
My penis is going to be the same.
No.
And this is why we need quality sex education.
Right?
And vasectomy security.
Never taught about. But actually, get a vasectomy. I mean, sorry, you don't have to get a vasectomy. I wouldn't, you know, do what's right for you. But have you had a vasectomy? Have it. Wear really tight pants for 2 or 3 days to ensure that the swelling doesn't, like, go. I'm sorry, what do you call pants in America? Pants? Boxers?
Underwear?
Yeah, underwear. Wear really tight underwear for 2 to 3 days to stop the swelling. And actually, that, and rest. It take an off a day for 2 or 3 days. Take 2 or 3 days off if you can and actually rest and then you'll be fine. It is a tiny, tiny keyhole surgery. It's so small. You can't even see the scar. My husband You'll hate me saying this, but I even got him to send me a picture of his testicles so I could use it on my blog. I didn't use it on blog.
We're a team player.
I didn't use it in the end, but I have got a blog about vasectomy which details his experience. Oh, if anyone wants to read it on my website, it is so easy. 15 minutes later, I picked him up. It was no problem whatsoever. And actually, that is a massive relief if you then tell your husband, I'm more likely to enjoy sex, actually, if I have the relief of not getting pregnant.
Yeah, you take the anxiety out. You
know? Yeah, with the current laws, sex is going to feel much better. I'm going to enjoy it. That means we'll probably have it more often. How does this sound now?
Yeah. Just to add to that, my husband had one about a year and a half ago, and it was an outpatient procedure. It was very quick. I think he was back there, like you said, like 15 minutes, and he was better in a weekend. Like he really wasn't like in pain or anything like that. Nope. And yeah. I think if you just kind of come from your perspective and have an open conversation about, like you said, like, this will help alleviate my anxieties. And I think, like, this speaks to your point earlier that other men need to talk to each other, because chances are he has had friends who have done it too and a bit and lived to tell the tale. And it's all going to be fine.
My husband knew that his dad had had one, and that, so it was normal. It was normal in their household. My dad hadn't had one, so it wasn't like a thing in my family. So it was very much a, and actually it was me that was hesitant for him to have a vasectomy. I was the one that said, oh, but what if I get hit by a bus and you meet someone new and they want children? And actually my husband turned around to me and was like, if I meet someone new and they want children, they're not the right person for me because I have two children and I am done. So actually that is a really key point in that. It was me that was sort of saying, well, what if? And he was saying, no, like, you know, I don't just get in a new relationship with a woman and that's what I want. Actually, I've got what I want. And if I meet the right person, then they fit into that. But it was so easy. It was so quick. We've actually now had conversations with a lot of his friends because we sort of put a blog out so people could see that he'd had it done. And now I've got a little vasectomy club in the playground at school, which is where these questions came about penis size. Because actually they were like, oh no, I'm a bit scared. And actually the men are all sort of saying, it's a piece of cake. Come on, come and join the vasectomy club.
Yeah, they need to normalize it.
Yeah. Totally. And that's the same with the use of condoms. Totally normalize the use of condoms. They're so easy. They're so out there. I mean, I don't know what they're like in the UK, but here we can get them free on the NHS if you want. But actually, there are all kinds of different brands that have all types of different price ranges. So really look and explore what's right for you. And never be embarrassed. I think even as adults, we put like tampons and condoms and things at the bottom of our shopping trolley and hide them. Actually, like, get over it. We're adults.
So our next question says, my 2-year-old still sleeps in bed with my husband and I. We aren't ready to tackle breaking that habit because it's how we all get the best sleep, but it's hindering our sex life. How do we fix this?
Oh, this is my hardest one. They've really got all the worst ones here. I find this really difficult because you've got to then factor time and take sex away from the bedroom. We're all stuck in a habit, I think, through history of sex being a bedroom activity, sex being a nighttime activity. So actually, let's take it out of that box. Let's take it out of that habit. Where can you have sex? Elsewhere in the house? Do you all go to bed at the same time? I'm presuming if they're a 2-year-old, maybe they go to bed first. So actually, is there a space and a place in the house where you feel comfortable enjoying sex and exploring each other in a different way? Don't think of sex as something we have to go to bed and have, because I think there's this going to bed dread a lot of people have, like, oh God, like, it's time to go to bed and, oh, they're going to want it. Because I know that because they slapped my ass earlier. And, oh, God. And so actually, let's remove that. Let's think, actually, sex doesn't have to be just at bedtime when we go to bed. Sex can be in the morning. It can be at nap time if the kid's having a nap. It can be putting a film on and disappearing for a bit if your child is old enough to sort of sit and watch a film independently, as long as, you know, all the other doors are locked and they're not going to run away anywhere. But it's sort of being aware of that. Actually, sex is a habit where we've got into of going to bed and having it at night, and it doesn't have to be. So is there a nap time? Is there a time before you go to bed where the child has gone to bed first? Morning time, is there a time where maybe your child gets up in the morning, goes and watches TV, that you could sort of slip it? I was about to say slip it in.
Slip it in.
Is there a time there? So those are sort of the three windows of opportunity that I would look at: nap time, before the child goes to bed, or in the morning.
Yeah.
and get that sort of take that going to bed dread out of the equation.
Yeah, I like that. Okay, next question. I have struggled with my body image since having kids. My partner says he still finds me attractive, but it's hard for me to believe it since I don't find myself attractive. How can I work to get over this?
Okay, so masturbate. It sounds a crazy solution, doesn't it? But if you explore your body and you touch your body and feel the feelings that it can give you that are good, all of a sudden we're going to feel more comfortable and more confident with our body. It really increases body confidence. It releases those endorphins, those feel-good hormones, being like, oh, wow, like this is hot. Like I feel hot. Like I feel good. I know what makes my body feel good. Sort of trying to see your partner from how they, you know, see yourself from how your partner sees you. So whether this is through, obviously, I don't necessarily condone the sending of nudes, but sexy photos, like a little sexy photo shoot. You know, I know you see like photographers doing like boudoir photos, but even just do one for yourself. Like, just on your phone, put it on 10-second timer and see if you can pose in different ways. And actually put something on that makes you feel good. Like, if you've got it might be a nice dress. It might be a sexy bit of underwear. But actually, if you can get in those sort of different poses that, you know, they might hide your areas that you're worried about. So for me, it's my stomach. So actually, if I get in a position that hides my stomach, but shows my butt and shows my boobs or shows me different angles that make me feel sexy, that really boosts it. And then maybe sending one to your partner at work, consensually, making sure they're obviously in a safe space and they're not with the boss looking over them. But actually being like, do you want to see a sexy photo? Yes. Wow. Okay. And that builds anticipation, doesn't it? All of a sudden, like, oh my God, you've been vulnerable and sent them a photo. But actually then they're like, wow, yeah, that's hot. And then they're really looking forward to getting home from work, or you're really looking forward to seeing them later. And, you know, it builds that anticipation. Doesn't mean that sex has to happen later, but it builds the thrill of the chase. And that's what a lot of us miss. If we're in long-term relationships with our partners and we've had children, that thrill of the chase, that dating, that excitement that used to lead us into sex, we've lost, because we know sort of sex is on the cards or it's going to happen, or they slap my ass earlier, so, oh, they want it. Actually, it brings that back and we take the control over to ourselves. So something like that, sort of masturbating and touching ourselves, and then massage. Massage is a lovely way of connecting physically and allowing your partner to sort of touch areas that they find really attractive, and you feeling that and sort of guiding them in different ways that feel comfortable for you, and you massaging them and just appreciating everything your body has done. Your body is incredible. You have made a baby. You have birthed a child. Like, your body is amazing. We sometimes need to tell ourselves that. Sometimes we need to tell ourselves that what our body has done is fantastic, and we are so strong and we are so amazing. We forget that. We just think, oh God, our body's ruined now we've had babies. Absolutely not. Your body is a hero. Celebrate it as much as you can, because it is amazing. And it's done something perhaps your partner has not done. So love it. Absolutely love on it as much as you can. Take that bath, take that time, touch yourself, love yourself, rediscover yourself again. And that's hard for a lot of people. I get that. I get that. That's really hard. And it takes time. So if it makes you feel uncomfortable, stop. Think why it's making you feel uncomfortable, start again. Just take that time, whether it's 5 minutes 1 week, 10 minutes the next week. Find the settings that make it feel good. If you like candlelight, if you like a bath, just whatever that makes you feel turned on, find that.
Our last question says, my husband is a great dad and really involved in the daily running of our life. However, it seems like our marriage has suffered as a result, and we are just like roommates. He isn't affectionate towards me and doesn't really make an effort outside of special occasions like holidays or birthdays. I've addressed this many times with no change on his part, and I'm at my wit's end and can't keep living like this. Is it worth breaking up my family for this? I think they mean like in an attempt to like find that passion.
Okay, so often long-term relationships, they do go a bit stale. We get used to that daily running of life. So like I said, we've lost that anticipation, that chase, that excitement, that adrenaline of when you see each other and you think, oh gosh, there they are. Like, I haven't seen them for a week or a date or anything like that. That dissipates, that goes, that dissolves. And actually, how can we rediscover that? And those late night chats, those connections, that emotional intimacy is huge as part of that. So taking time, that date night element. Now, date night doesn't have to be extravagant. It doesn't have to be flowers and chocolates and a trip to a restaurant. I mean, I can be at home using something like Gottman, who have a amazing app called Gottman Love Cards, using that to just ask each other questions and then seeing where that questions take you. You might only do 5 or 6 questions, but then that conversation continues on to something else. I didn't realize that about you. I didn't know that. Oh yeah, well, you know, what didn't you know, and talking about it more, or talking about your upbringings. It can go all over the place with those conversations and questions. And that doesn't have to be anything expensive. That could be a night just doing that app. Try not to do it sat face to face, because no one needs an interrogation. It feels a bit like, oh God, like, why are you asking me all these questions? Sometimes doing it side to side, or with a board game, I always say, you put a board game in between you, play a board game, and just sort of have a conversation over that board game and see where the night takes you. And it really sort of bonds you through that emotional intimacy. And then the other thing I would say is something called sexual currency, which is touch. So it's touch that you give each other that's more than you would your friends or your mom or your child. It's touch that only you give your partner. So it's a 6-second kiss, perhaps, before they go to work. It's that touch as they walk past the lower back. It's that sort of stroke of their hair, whatever touch it is, small touches. Do 10 a day. It's going to sound really weird. It's going to start like strange. It will. I am awful at it. I regularly have to check myself, because it's a habit you have to form. My parents are not touchy-feely people. I wasn't brought up in a touchy-feely house. I find it really difficult. I need to establish that habit for mine and my partner's relationship to grow, to show that I am still here, I still love you, I am still attracted to you. We are still sexual partners, not just roommates, you know, caregivers to the children. So start by doing 10 touches a day and tell each other. And it's going to sound like a silly game, or it sounds like a really boring, weird thing that you do. But just like any habit, whether it's quitting smoking or anything else, the longer you do it and the more often you do it, it then becomes normal and a habit that you do. You're not having to tell yourself to do it. It takes time. It takes patience. But actually, it will reconnect you in a way that ignites something in your subconscious. Because when your partner does touch you in a way that feels good or that feels affectionate, I think everyone has a little part of their brain that goes, oh, okay. And it's not just that, oh, no, they're going to want sex now. They've touched me. It's a, oh, there they are. They're here. I know they're here. It's okay. Because if we just do touch as part of wanting sex, we then build up a resentment for touch and we build up a resentment for sex. If we just get a squeeze of the bum or, a kiss on the cheek and think, oh gosh, they're going to want it later. Like, oh gosh, they're going to want sex. Oh dear. And we start resenting it. We start resenting our partner. We start resenting that interaction. And we stop touching. We pull away from each other. Not necessarily on purpose. It just is what happens, especially as parents. We're exhausted and we just cannot be asked. So actually reintroducing that touch, because I think we all did it when we first started dating. We all couldn't keep our hands off each other at some stage, or were really sort of handsy. We held hands walking through the shopping center or wherever you were, you know, whereas we don't do that now because you've got one of these got a nappy bag, the other one's got a child, and you just don't touch each other and you smell like chicken nuggets, whatever. So reintroducing that is really important.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.